greatest amount of respect for the heart that Ron had here still does. So it is, it's 11:20 and we haven't dismissed our kids. Our teachers, I want you to know this. We're going to still dismiss for classes, but if you want to successfully get through your lesson for today, you're going to have to be on target. We're gonna be just probably about 10 or 15 minutes in this part of the service. There's some things that I want to be able to introduce and to move into. So we're going to do two things right now. We're going to pray over our offering. We're going to pray for our teachers and dismiss our children. And then our classes are gonna be happening because I know too that they're on a schedule and they're already got some Sundays that they're scheduled to be off. And so I'm gonna respect that, but we're gonna move through that. And so at this point, we're gonna pray over our offering. The way that we do our offering is it's in the lobby. And as you go today, you can deposit that right into a box that's there. If you're a guest here, we believe that your offering and your tithe belong in your home church, but if you want to sow into the ministry here, there's envelopes and things that you can do that with. So Father, we thank you for an opportunity to give, and we do so with a cheerful heart. And we ask that every time that we give, Lord, we do it with the remembrance that you have blessed us, and in turn, we just are obedient and return back to you that which you've requested. And we just ask that we would see blessing, not only financially, but just an encouraged heart to know that we are a part of seeing your kingdom being built here on earth. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for our teachers. They're free to get up and go to their doors right now. Father, we thank you for our teachers and our children's ministry and the things that are coming up in the next even few weeks as students prepare to move up on Labor Day weekend. We just ask, Lord, to encourage and strengthen our teachers as they bless our students as they go from this place today. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And our students are dismissed to go to their classes. Amen, amen. And so while they're going, if you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask you to open up to Philippians, and we're going to talk about that for just a few moments. So I have some things on my heart that I want to share with you before we go. And I have a couple other things that I just want to take care of too before we go home, but it's a blessing. There they go. Awesome. All right, so something that we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks now is truth. And it's a very interesting topic. When you start talking about something that you think is as non-controversial as truth, it's interesting just the different conversations that come up. And it's become just acutely aware to me that we live in a time when there's not a solid foundation to understand even what truth is and how it works, and definitions fluctuate. And last week I just talked with you about even some words that we use today that aren't even closely associated with what they used to mean even 20, 30, 50 years ago. Many of you in this room, in your own lifetime, you have seen words literally have a brand new definition than they ever had before, or they get connected with something that really had nothing to do with the original meaning of the word. And so that happens to be going on as well in Christianity, is that Paul warns Timothy. As I read through 1st and 2nd Timothy in preparation for our time here with Brent and Kelly, and that's Paul's heart towards Timothy, is he's saying, watch out, because there's going to be people who distort good and what he calls sound doctrine. And I'm not really a word sleuth. When it comes to crossword puzzles and word finds, well, not word finds, those are kind of fun. Crossword puzzles or these different things. In full disclosure, my vocabulary is quite limited, but every once in a while when I find something that gets used over and over again, I'm curious about it. And about three times in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy combined, Paul uses this term sound doctrine. And then in my translation of the Bible, English Standard Version, there was a little raised footnote next to it. And I just kind of read past it. There's footnotes all through the Bible. But the third time that it appeared, I thought, what is this little footnote? It's just down at the bottom of the page. It takes eight hundredths of a second to go, oh, that's what it means, right? So I looked down, and what it was doing is it was saying where it says sound doctrine. In the ESV, it says commonly translated as healthy. Instead of sound, it's healthy. And I thought, man, I like that word better than sound doctrine, because I like things that are healthy and good for me. I want to know when something has this aspect of building up our spirit, of being healthy. And so what Paul is saying is that make sure that you don't get wrapped up in what culture is doing, because culture is actually going to cause a level of unhealthy activity within the body of Christ. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but sin has crept into the body of Christ. And a lot of it has to do with a lack of healthy, in parentheses, sound doctrine being taught in the church. And it has been my desire, not over the last 3 weeks, but has been my desire to walk with you every chance that I get to say, this is not an opinion. This is directly from the Word of God. It's found in Scripture. Let's read a number of Scriptures in a row. Let's read, if you can remember, it was about 6 or 7 months ago, I actually just opened up 1 Peter, and I read to you straight from 1 Peter. That was my message. I just read the Bible to you, which actually, I think that we haven't done enough, because that in the Old Testament, that was something that one of the kings, he realized this hasn't been read before the people. Nobody knows what's going on. What did he do? He said, that's it. Let's cancel everything. Bring everybody in. We're going to read this out loud to the people. And so what I did a number of months ago is we just opened up Scripture. I said, this is in the Bible. No commentary from me. No extrapolation. Let's just read it and see what the Word of God says. And then Paul, when he's talking to Timothy, this is something that he says over and over again, is he says, you have to recognize that there's actually a place for teaching somebody exactly what the Bible, what God is saying in Scripture. He even takes time and says, you need to be aware of something else, that Scripture is God-breathed, and it's good for teaching and for reproof, correction, for correcting, and to watch out for false teachers. He goes in 1 Timothy chapter 6, and starting in the middle of verse 2, he says, teach and urge these things. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3, if anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree, here it is, with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there's a little tiny footnote there if you have the English Standard Version, and this is what I was talking about. Does not agree with the sound doctrine. You take 8/10 of a second, you look down, it says, or healthy. If they do not have healthy words from our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. And here's where Paul underscores healthy doctrine, is he says the same word again in the Greek. It says, and he is an unhealthy, in other words, he does not have sound mind in this. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions. And you can see that what happens is as the church pushes away from sound biblical teaching that is clearly found in Scripture, immediately what happens is there's dissension among the ranks. Because there is someone within that conversation that says, wait a second, that's not what the Bible says. That's not the understanding that I have from Scripture. And then the other side of it is, well, then you're being narrow-minded. You're being traditional. You're not allowing God you're not allowing the church to grow with society. And I want to tell you something today. The church was not designed to grow with the culture. The culture does not dictate sound doctrine. The culture can't. Why? Because last week we talked about it. The culture is fishing in an empty, waterless bathtub. They're looking for truth where truth doesn't even exist. Sound doctrine can only be understood in the light of a spirit-filled, transformed mind that is looking into Scripture and saying, God, teach me your ways. There are those who read Scripture and do not approach it from a spirit-filled, transformational understanding of who God is, and instead they come with an agenda of how can I manipulate and change this? How can I redefine what's going on? When the Bible says this, that was only a cultural understanding. That wasn't something that was specifically coming down from God. And then they begin to take the Word of God and they begin to mold it and shape it into something that better suits them. Paul refers this to, there will soon come teaching that will want to, he says, tickle the ear of the listener. And that's what begins to happen. Oh, that sounds nice. I can actually digest that word from the Lord. Because you know why I can digest it? Because I have a particular lifestyle, and that interpretation that you just gave fits better with my lifestyle. Therefore, I can come into the church building and not walk away with any kind of conviction or growth happening within my life. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Lord. Help us to be desiring to come in line with the Word of God. That's why I'm being so, being so dogmatic about definition. Because we can sit here and we can say, yes, but that word has changed. And I say, so what? The Bible hasn't. The Bible has not changed. And I love looking back even into something like a discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls and to see that somebody could say, well, how do you know it survived all this time, all this time, all this time? And then somebody goes and wanders into a cave in the middle of nowhere and they open up Scripture and they open up letters and they say, wait a second, this thing that was written 1,500 years ago is exactly what's in the Bible today. How is that even possible? Because God has been protecting and preserving His Word for you and I. The Bible is not going to change with the times. And the stronger that we stay with the Word, the more separated we're going to appear from society. And that's not by choice. That's what's happening. The world is giving over to what Scripture calls a depraved mind. It's going its own way. It's abandoning the truth. And what better way to abandon the truth than to redefine what the word truth means? So we as believers need to be able to hang on to what this means. I want to read a couple of scriptures to you. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brothers, this is again Paul writing to one of his favorite churches, so to speak, depending on the commentary that you read. But Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. There's no definition that's necessary there. I think that we covered it. Do you think that what Paul is doing is saying, let's just think about the things that are coming from the Lord on this. But how do we do that? How do we function in this manner? It begins with something that I believe is fundamental to being a Christian. And that is, I am transformed by the Word of God. I am transformed. Metamorphosis, a change has taken place within my life. I am no longer the person that I used to be. I referred to it last week. It bears mentioning again now, is that is the very transformation in the spirit that Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about, is that there's such a transformation, it is the spiritual birthing again of the spirit within you, that we have this soul that is being completely brought away from the Word of God, sound doctrine, healthy doctrine. The world is dragging us away from that. When I give my life to Jesus Christ, I go through a spiritual metamorphosis. I am no longer the person that I used to be. I no longer think the way that I used to think. Consider it just as we have with this butterfly concept. A butterfly does not think like a caterpillar. I don't know everything there is to know about butterflies, but something I am pretty sure never happens again is they don't eat a leaf anymore. They don't go around chomping. Did I do okay? We don't know, right? We don't know. I've never witnessed it, so it must not be true. No, I'm just kidding. But what is a caterpillar? Do we learn this from? I used to read this book to our children when they were. There was the hungry caterpillar, and he went around munch, 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 and that's what he did all day. He was eating leaves all day, he or she. Just gotta be careful there. But then, when the caterpillar goes through the metamorphosis, that caterpillar has some kind of huge transformation that takes place, and they no longer munch on the leaves, they drink nectar now. Completely different process. Completely different type of, I don't know everything there is about munching leaves. I'll be honest with you, I don't go around munching on leaves too much. But there's a different process. Could we agree with that without being botanist, entomologist, both of them? How'd I do? I did a pretty good job there, all right. But that's not my field, right? But I do understand that you're munching on this and now you're sucking on nectar. Okay, great. What is the change? What is the transformation? The Bible says it this way. I used to give you milk. I used to treat you as a child. The only thing that you could spiritually digest was milk. Now what I desire is to give you the meat of the word, for something for you to chew on, and it actually requires another level of digestion. I want you to see that there is a transformation in your spirit that happens, that you go from one place of understanding. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become transformed instantly. You are now a new person, a renewing of your mind, a renewing of your desire. Now you no longer want to please yourself. All that you say, all that you do, you only want to please Jesus Christ with all that you have. And what does that filter down to? My life. My life needs to be a reflection of the change that has happened in my spirit? Why would I want to act the way that I did before Jesus Christ came into my life? Why would I want to do that? Why? It doesn't make any sense. Don't let a caterpillar eat a leaf. Butterfly. She was trying. We just had like, this was like telepathy. Marital telepathy was happening. Alexa's like, that's not right. You're going to want to rethink that. Marriage is awesome. We just had a whole conversation. I let you in on it. Don't let a butterfly eat a leaf. We have to be able to understand that this is what God is doing. And I've written something in here, and just because I wrote it in, it doesn't make it part of the Bible. But I want you to see that this section that we're looking at, that what is happening in Philippians, is that Paul is looking for a people that will be God-minded. The transformation that takes place is that we will be God-minded. So this morning, as we leave this, I said we're going to be quick, and we are. We're done now. But I want to give you a couple of scriptures that maybe you could even look at and chew on, is that Paul gives some amazing doctrinal insight as to what it means to be separate from the world in Colossians. In Colossians chapter 2 and Colossians chapter 3, he says, let's be careful that we don't get caught up in these pointless arguments in our society. Because in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 4, he says that they will delude you with plausible arguments. In other words, somebody who comes at you and is talking about something that you're kind of like, I don't think that really sounds like God would do that. Show me again in Scripture. They come to you with these kind of skilled debates, and they say, here's what God really meant. And if that isn't backed up with 17 scriptures that behind it, then it's not true. God didn't really mean that. He means what he says, and he says what he means, and it's written in the Word, and we can cross-reference it, and we can check it. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, be really careful that somebody doesn't come to you with the legal demands of the law. And that's something we talked about last week, is what are the two things that exist in this world? There is the law, or there is grace. And which one do you want to be under? And if you're under grace, don't let someone come at you with the legalism of the law, but the law is not put to bed. The law still exists. We show our devotion to God, not because we follow the law. We show our devotion to God because we have surrendered ourselves to Him, and now faith and works follow after our faith. Works come after our dedication to the Lord. We are good because we are saved. We are not saved because we are good. Come on, church. Colossians chapter 3 says, if you are born of Christ, then put away the earthly desires. If you have truly been transformed by the power and the renewing of your mind, then Paul says, put away these things. Separate yourself. Colossians, excellent. Colossians chapter 2, Colossians chapter 3, I can't recommend it highly enough for you. Closing now. We each have a burden and a passion in our hearts to please God in some way. We've given our lives to Him. Why wouldn't we? And sometimes we don't always, in our own minds or in somebody else's, we don't measure up to it. We fail. We somehow fall aside. But then what we have to be able to recognize is that if I am going to say I am a follower of Christ, then my drive, the engine that pushes me, can only be found in Scripture, can only be backed up by what the Bible teaches me to do. And the Bible says that when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I became transformed. I was no longer the person that I used to be. This morning, that's the place where I want you to sit in your relationship with the Lord. You are transformed by the renewing of your mind. And there are different processes that take place now because of that transformation. You are transformed. You have been made new. And then in Paul's words, because of that, abandon the things of this world. Abandon them. I want you to stand with me this morning. Father, I just come before you and I cling on to another recognition that Paul says, that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so as we look at these things, not to allow legalism to come into our mind and say, well, in order for me to be a good Christian, this is what I need to do. Instead, our mind needs to recognize that we have been transformed by the sacrificial blood of Jesus Christ. We come before you this morning, God, and we thank you for Jesus Christ dying on the cross and being the one and final sacrifice for our sin. Then, in that recognition, we now enter into a new journey of transformation within our lives. Help us, God. Help us, God, on this journey. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. We thank you for all that you're doing in us, Lord God. I pray this morning that there would be a true renewal and transformation within our lives. We thank you for that in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 I'm in the midst of working on a brand new series that I launched. I told you that sometimes I roll things past the elders and I say, something's happening here. And we had a prayer request come at a leadership meeting that we were doing in the middle of the week that just sparked something within me, and I haven't been able to put it down yet. And I'm really looking forward to starting this, hopefully shortly after Labor Day. We're going to be getting into some things about transformational living that translates over to the next generation. Because I think that sometimes what happens is that we as believers, especially if you're a first generation Christian, if you're the first one in your family to dedicate your life to the Lord, you're in this complete bliss and awareness of what's going on, but you also have to recognize there's a spiritual seed that needs to be passed on to the next generation so that continues. And so I'm going to be talking about some of those very basic things with us in the coming weeks, and I'm excited about it. And that's about as much as I want to say, is to be continued. It's going to be awesome. So Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you're doing. We seal this time. We pray, Lord, that everything that we say and do would demonstrate transformation within our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Don't forget, we have a teachers' meeting immediately following this. Is that?